Chicago Blackhawks, New York Rangers, and more. Plus, each weekend ticket plan purchased includes free food and beverages. Head to BlueJackets.com/weekend to learn more.
When severe weather cuts across Lorain and Medina counties, depend on the radio station on the edge of the storm. Your official weather station, locally owned and locally responsive. AM 930 WEOL.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930. That's right. Let's break it down. Cloudy overnight, low near 63. Breezy, rainy Saturday, high of 73.
Great skies, it's 72.
It's Bull's Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes away from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. He's Matt Douglas. I'm Andy Bulbarch. You've got us until 5 o'clock today, and then high school football takes center stage with the Cleveland Clinic football forecast show. And then we've got all three games beginning at 6:30 with our pregame coverage tonight. 7 o'clock kicks at Streams 1, 2, and 3. Stream 1, Firelands and Vermilion. Avon Lake at Stream 2. And Stream 3 features Black River playing host to Ontario. We go to the hotline right now as we bring in Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com. Adam, thank you as always, man, for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Andy?
So far, so good. It's a little gray out there, but you know what? I'll take this over the 18,000 degrees we had a couple days ago for sure. Boy, that wasn't the only thing heating up. Boy, how about the over last weekend in college football? The over hit is just over 60% of those week one college football games. I think it's probably reasonable to expect a little bit less than that in week two, right?
Yeah, I would certainly think so. I mean, not only have the odds makers made adjustments and we see some higher totals out there, but also we've seen a lot of early overaction this week from some of the sharper bettors that are out there that like to get out in front of the numbers. So, you know, adjustments have been made, and also I think teams will adjust as well. You got a lot of nerves in week one, a lot of jitters. You know, you've got some young players getting to play for the first time, maybe making some mistakes. Coaches usually fix some of those things between week one and week two. So I would expect closer to a 50-50 type of split on the totals this week.
You think the matchups had anything to do with that in week one also? I mean, yeah, you did have a couple of pretty decent matchups. You had, I didn't believe, one matchup featuring two top 25 or two top 10 opponents, whereas this week you may not have as much flash and flare. I think there's one two-team top 25 matchup, right, if I'm not mistaken, with a USC ticket on Stanford. But outside of that, you know, you don't have many in the top 25, but it still does seem like you're going to get a little bit more balance this week. You won't see as many matchups that are as lopsided, which sometimes lend itself to some of the over, right?
Yeah, and of course, too, I mean, you talk about a lot of teams using new offensive coordinators and, you know, new starting quarterbacks, things like that. They don't take their feet off the gas pedal in those types of games. So they'll go full bore throughout, and, you know, a lot of times you get some points in the fourth quarter, prevent defenses with teams that have big leads, stuff like that. But also a lot of offenses trying to work out some kinks last week. You know, as you get a little bit deeper into these non-conference games, week two, week three, stuff like that, you start getting look-ahead spots for these teams where the following week they'll play their conference opener, something like that. And in those instances, that's where you do kind of see them, you know, relax a little bit on the gas, maybe let the clock run a little bit more with some running plays, stuff like that. So I think we will see some adjustments over the next few weeks for sure.
Again, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, well, week one in the NFL season is already upon us. We had the first game last night, a bit of an interesting one. Not your traditional final score, but at the same time, that was far from your traditional game. There are some early betting trends for the opening Sunday of the NFL season, and I know it's not really a popular opinion around these parts, but sure sounds like betting against the Browns is something that has picked up steam of late. Any reason why that might be?
I think it's just one of those things where the Browns got so much love over the summer. I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when I was on the program here, that their season win total went up from 5 to 6. There are some sports books out in Las Vegas that one of the worst case scenarios for them at the end of the season this year would be Cleveland winning the Super Bowl. Obviously, we'd all be thrilled and overjoyed, and it's probably not going to happen, but a lot of people were taking shots on them for the Super Bowl, betting up that season win total. And then we saw this line go from 6.5 down to as low as 3.5 for this week one game here against Pittsburgh. A little bit of that a reaction to Le'Veon Bell not showing up at practice for the Steelers. But I think the reason we're seeing buyback now is, you know, a lot of times people will treat the sports betting market like the stock market. So when they feel like a stock has reached too high of a point, maybe they'll kind of sell it off a little bit. I think the Browns are kind of at that point here now where, you know, look, I mean, this was a 10-point spread in week one last week. This week it's 4, 4.5. That's a pretty big adjustment from one year to another.
Yeah, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And you know, how much do you think goes into that equation, the history of this, knowing that the Browns have been really, really bad on opening day, going all the way back to when they came back into the league in 1999? I believe they haven't won their opener since 2002, if I'm not mistaken. How much of that plays a part in this?
It plays a part for the betting populace, but for the odds makers, it doesn't really play too much of a part. They're going to put a number out there that they think can encourage action on both sides, try to keep the book as balanced as they possibly can. They'll leave things like that up to the bettors. If the bettors decide that means something to them, they'll start betting on Cleveland. The odds or the risk managers will start adjusting the line for that game. And that's basically what we've seen here, is that we've seen a lot of Cleveland money. We've seen the odds makers have to adjust. But again, I mean, we got to a stopping point at Pittsburgh -3.5. We're back up to 4, 4.5 now. So I imagine this game probably closes somewhere in the 4.5 range. But I will say this, Andy, I mean, I know you had a weather update there right before our segment. The weather looks downright miserable for Sunday. So thoughts and prayers to anybody that's going to go out there and stand around in that. 40-mile-per-hour winds, tons of rain. Low-scoring games generally favor the underdog because they're getting points. So I certainly couldn't bet Pittsburgh. I will not be taking Cleveland this weekend either. But just keep that in mind for anybody that is interested in that game.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, the wind's going to kick into high gear, and if you're up against the lake like that, it's going to make those conditions even more miserable. Getting outside the Browns for just a second here, what other interesting betting trends have you noticed leading into the first full Sunday of the NFL season in just a couple days here?
I think one of the really interesting ones that I'm noticing here is the San Francisco and Minnesota game. You know, San Francisco last year winning 5 straight, finally going with Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan, of course, the head coach, and I personally love Kyle Shanahan. Everybody on the radio show that I do is a big fan of Kyle Shanahan, and we know what Kyle Shanahan was able to do as the OC of the Browns. But, you know, we saw that Jimmy G hype. We saw some hype for him to possibly win the MVP or San Francisco to make a run in the NFC West. But then the betting market this week has Minnesota up from a 4.5-point favorite in the summertime to 6.5 or 7 now out there. So a lot of people expecting Mike Zimmer's defense to, you know, kind of throw some cold water on that Jimmy G train. The other one that's interesting to me, and this one's relevant, of course, to Browns fans with the Bengals in action against Indianapolis. We saw Andrew Luck in the preseason, but we didn't see Andrew Luck. They really had a vanilla playbook for the Colts. So we're kind of seeing some Cincinnati money hit the board here with people a little bit worried about how Andrew Luck's going to look.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? Because the beginning of the NFL season, I think a lot of us feel like we've got it figured out. But the beauty of the NFL is that, you know, from one week to the next, is its unpredictability, especially when you're going against the spread. Oh boy, Adam, would you agree that this first week, it's just so tough to predict because we just don't know what these teams are going to look like?
The first week is brutal. I mean, I'm in the Westgate Super Contest, which is out at what used to be the Las Vegas Hilton in Vegas. It's the Westgate Superbook now. You just pick 5 games against the spread. The lines come out on Wednesday evening, and they're stale lines. They don't move. And I'm having a very hard time coming up with 5 games here this week, in part because these numbers have been up since late April, so there's been a lot of action on them. But also, like you said, there are a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that we really can't account for. 18 new offensive coordinators league-wide. We've got new starting quarterbacks in different places, Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins, Sam Bradford, those types of guys. You know, you got Nathan Peterman starting for Buffalo, Tyrod Taylor now with Cleveland. So, you know, a lot of moving parts here in week one, a lot of uncertainty. And, you know, I know some people, some friends of mine got burned a little bit last week in college football with some of that uncertainty. And we'll see if things go the same way in the NFL.
Well, let's get back to the college game for just a moment. It was about a month ago. You wrote a very interesting article on determining home field advantage against the spread in college football. College football, there's just something different. It's the pageantry. It's the environment. There are a lot of elements at play in college football that just aren't necessarily there or aren't there consistently in the NFL. But I wanted to give you a chance to kind of elaborate on what you found in the research that you did putting that article together on determining home field advantage against the spread in college football.
Yeah, actually, I was on my way to Vegas to sign up for the Super Contest, and I'm sitting there, and I'm paging through Phil Steele's magazine, and I'm just kind of looking around at everything, and you know, a lot of times, for a lot of people, it's just been a standard issue 3 points for home field advantage, and I'm somebody who digs deep into the baseball statistics. I'm very big into advanced metrics and sabermetrics, so I'm thinking to myself, I can't just slap an arbitrary number on this, so I have a baseline of 3, but there are a lot of teams that move off of 3, all the way down to 2, and then all the way up to 4.5. Basically, what I did was I took a look at the last 3 years of home records, both straight up and against the spread. I put them into percentage groups to see, you know, who has had the most success straight up and against the spread at home. Oklahoma, actually, the one over the last 3 years that has the highest home field advantage for me at 4.5. But you know, you can't slap 3 on these things anymore because a lot of these kids are playing high school showcase games. They're traveling out of state. Maybe they're playing neutral site games, playing state championships in, you know, much bigger venues. It's different now than it used to be. So I don't think kids are as overwhelmed by crowd size, as overwhelmed by travel. Of course, travel's gotten progressively easier over the last 10, 15 years. So it was something where I just felt like I had to come up with a better kind of formula. And you know, so far, I think this has worked out pretty well for me. My power ratings lines with my home field advantage are pretty close to the betting market. So, you know, we'll see. But it's one of those things where I just don't think home field advantage means quite as much as it used to.
The one team that stood out when I was reading your article earlier was Hawaii. Were you surprised at all that they fell down as low on that list as they did? Only because, boy, you think that traveling to Hawaii, even if traveling is easier the last 10 or 15 years, as you mentioned, for some of these colleges, going all the way out to Hawaii, it seems like it would make things at least a little bit more difficult. But Hawaii was one of those teams that really didn't have much of a home field advantage.
Well, and this is one of those cases. I mean, we look at what Hawaii's done here to start the season, the win on the road at Colorado State and then blowing out Navy last week. I'll probably wind up having to adjust their home field advantage a little bit as we go throughout the year here. But, you know, they just haven't had much success over the last 3 years. And that is one of the problems that I had with my methodology. One of the things that I acknowledged is 3 years is a small sample size in really any sport, especially when you're only talking about 6 or 7 home games, you know, depending on how many of your non-conference games are at home. So it's not the biggest of sample sizes. If Hawaii gets it turned around, they'll get their home field advantage edge back up a little bit. But I think a lot of it here, too, is that, you know, just when you look at traveling out to Hawaii, I mean, I've been to Honolulu personally, you're in paradise, but it's also like a major city. It's not like going to Maui or Oahu or something like that. So I think a lot of teams just treat it as more like a business trip, and it also coincides with the fact that the Rainbow Warriors just haven't been very good lately.
Well, it certainly hasn't become a vacation destination for those that are going out there to play, no doubt about that. Well, before we cut you loose here, Adam, I know you guys have a contest coming up here, too. You've got a super contest. Elaborate on that and let our listeners know what that's all about.
Well, so like I said, out in Las Vegas, there's the Westgate Super Contest, which has gotten extremely mainstream now. I like to talk about it like the main event for the World Series of Poker after Chris Moneymaker won it. I think it was 2003 that he did that. Then there was this big poker explosion. Well, a couple of years ago in the Super Contest, the guy who won it actually worked at Starbucks. He was a Starbucks barista, kind of had that everyman, common man kind of feel to it. And of course, as sports gambling has gotten more, you know, into mainstream media, people have been finding out about this contest. So it's been growing by leaps and bounds. Now, the problem is, if you don't live in Nevada, you still have to go sign up in person, and you have to have a proxy put in your picks for you. So it can be a little bit challenging. It's also a $1,500 entry fee. So what we did over at bangthebook.com is we've created our own super contest. Same exact rules, 5 picks against the spread every week in the NFL, but it's free to join. Cash prizes for the quarterly winners as well as the overall winners, $1,000 for first place, $750 for second, $500 for third, on down from there paying the top 5. So if you're somebody who has an interest in this, or you know, maybe you want to get an interest in this, it's free to sign up. It's bangthebook.com. Click on the contest link at the top. Gives you a good chance to get your feet wet without actually putting any financial investment into it.
Very good stuff. Adam, we appreciate the time as always, my friend, and we should do it again next Friday.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you again. Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com. Make sure you give them a follow if you haven't already on Twitter, at BangTheBook. You can also check out the website, BangTheBook.com. Really, really good stuff on there. All right, we need to take a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Coming up in just a few, we'll get to the local news, and then we're going to talk Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network coming up at 4:10. It's